it don't make sense. I've been down with Boogie Down since BD Peace and Brown Pride. And Black Power make RBG. A OG told me choose battles wisely. In the struggle, don't forget your children and your wifey. If you don't see me on the podium preaching it, every day I hope my every action is teaching it. Cause revolution is a process, it's not a speech or a panel. And bite off more than you can handle.
En Palestina, con todos los estudiantes por educación gratuita. I'm with workers uprising and the right to unionize. We ain't crossed the border, so you better legalize. I'm with La Peña del Bronx. I'm still with Vitor Toro, cause gentrification is polluting my borough. So bro, never, South Bronx forever. Decolonize the block, make your neighborhood better. I ain't down with the rich, I'm more Richie Perez. Don't talk to grand juries or cooperate with feds. I'm with students, doctors, janitors, teachers. We need living wages, but they don't believe us. Moneta, Barreto, Spofford, Funds Point, My Point, My Hood, I Love. We join forces, forming our deck, BX. Taking over buildings, rebel DIs for the children.
Politics to sickness, streets express symptoms. Caught up with a quickness, big business pimps them. Scholars play the simpleton, fools play with wisdom. Who will stand and fight back? Play the victim, trials and tribulations, injured generations, stolen history and outsourced innovation. Babel Tower fell, tribes are at war, the battle story's not represented in the score. The game's fixed, most of the faces and names switched, credit stolen for art, science, religion, language, technology, philosophy, and with strangers. They paid in hatred for the knowledge of the ancients. Power in words, actions, guns, swords, aim Panthers, brown berets, young lords. Pick a side. One sickness, one cure, one love, one blood, one world, but one war.
Like many of you, like many Americans, I have felt frustrated and betrayed by the state of the mainstream media in this country, a media whose priorities seem out of step with their responsibilities. We need a media that strengthens democracy, not a media that strengthens the government. We need a media that enriches public discourse, not one that enriches corporations.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Welcome. You're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Catherine Davis, and you're listening to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. And we are engaged in our fundraising drive here at WBAI. And when last I was with you, we covered some very interesting topics on scalar waves. Well, I'm going to take that discussion a little bit further on today's program. And we're going to be speaking about the living matrix. The living matrix, the new science of healing, uncovers new ideas about the intricate web of factors that determine our health. We talk with a group of dedicated scientists, psychologists, bioenergetic researchers, and holistic practitioners who are finding healing potential in a wide variety of new places. In the film, researchers and others who faced health challenges put the science in perspective when they tell their stories. And it goes on to give individual testimonials from people who were successful in using some of these really cutting-edge treatment modalities. And it includes a number of different kinds of healing frameworks. But before getting into my talking about the film, I'm going to play an excerpt for you. And we're going to be hearing this, and then I'll be back and tell you a little bit more about this program and how you can support WBAI.
There are amazing healings taking place all the time. Yet, traditional allopathic medicine has no model or explanation for how these healings can occur.
We don't understand how it is that even the simplest thing, like the healing from a wound that is so mundane that every child has experienced it, we don't have a full understanding of how that occurs.
The answers may lie in the fundamental shift which is occurring in our understanding of our universe.
virtually every ancient culture and every native culture has thought of the universe as a unity, as a circle, and man is being central to that. And it was only with the discoveries of Isaac Newton and René Descartes that ripped us out of the fabric of our universe and created this clockwork model where mind is separate from body and that we are separate from each other. And that idea of separation is the foundation of Western thinking. Now, Newton described a very well-behaved universe of separate things operating in space and time according to fixed laws. The idea of the body as machine, the body is this well-behaved machine with the two engines of the body being the brain and the heart, and the whole central orchestra being conducted by DNA. That's the model we have. And we think of various processes being localized in certain parts of the body. What's wrong with that is just about everything. Body is completely decentralized. There is no central brain, in a sense, and that the brain is closer to an antenna receiver. It's closer to a transducer of information, a receiver and a transmitter of information, but not the central repository of that information.
In our conventional world of biochemistry and cellular biology, we focus on a Newtonian belief of a material world. Through the history of science, we focus on the mechanical reality and have let go of the concept of energy and fields as information in biology. That's the Newtonian perspective that says, focus on the matter, don't pay attention to the rest of the stuff. Except that we're now recognizing that the mind, which is an energetic field of thought, which you can read with EEG wires on your brain, or even more interesting is a new process called magnetoencephalograph called MEG. While electroencephalograph, you put wires on the skin and read brain activity, magnetoencephalograph is a probe outside of the head, and it reads the fields of neural activity without even touching the body. So it basically says that when you're processing with your brain, you're broadcasting fields.
1875 to 1920, there was this enormous growth of biochemistry. And it was then thought that chemistry is probably, you know, we're a chemical machine. The answer is to put the right chemical in the body and you'll get better. To a point, that's correct. But it doesn't appear to be correct for chronic disease. It's correct in the short term. There was a major intellectual split going on at the time in physics, because the old Newtonian world, the clockwork universe, was going strong, and a few crackpots in Denmark, Germany, and to a lesser extent England, developed quantum physics and said that it doesn't work the way you said it works. It doesn't happen like that. And there were huge anomalies found in physics that could not be explained. And the upshot of this was that the old idea of a mechanical universe, where everything happens for a specific reason in its own way, had to be dropped.
Quantum physics changed our perception of reality over 80 years ago. Surprisingly, this new viewpoint has yet to be incorporated into our current biology model.
The main problem with the current biological model is that it's reductionist and mechanistic. That means, first, it tries to explain everything in terms of little bits, generally molecules, because they're the smallest things in organisms. And secondly, it tries to treat the organism as a machine that works simply in terms of physics and chemistry.
Chemical reaction in the body is supposed to be central, and the main reason it occurs, according to current theory, is through molecular collision. So that one molecule collides into another, and that's how they have this information and how we have a cascade of chemical processes. Now, if you think of the usual cell, a cell is like a swimming pool, and molecules are like a couple of tennis balls in that swimming pool. And according to this theory, one tennis ball is supposed to find another tennis ball in this vast body of water and do so instantaneously. And that is supposed to account for all the millions of instantaneous activities that occur in our body at every second. And that's ludicrous.
The existing control system of modern medicine is enzymes, hormones, not consciousness, not emotions, not body field. All that is there as your control system is enzymes and hormones. And we find this a bit inadequate to explain the whole majesty of human behavior and sickness and the whole darn thing. It's impossible.
Today's medicine still works on the old paradigm of physics, which dates back to the time of Newton and the primacy of matter. Modern physics has long ago eliminated that paradigm and understands that it is not matter, but mind or spirit, which is primary. Though it isn't defined as spirit, but as energy fields, as intelligent energy fields.
We look to science as some sort of absolute truth and a story that's already been written. But the reality is that science is a story told in installments, and every new chapter oftentimes refines or completely changes what has come before.
This intellectual pendulum swing, and it's swinging towards the idea of holism and looking at how an entire system works together. Whereas, you see, the doctors began to look at how each individual cell works, and they got down to the cellular level. That's all been done for 100 years. Great, we understand it a lot. But we don't understand how the cells talk to each other and how they deal with information.
One of the most profound discoveries made really since the advent of quantum physics is a thing called the zero-point field. And what this is the energy exchange that goes on between subatomic particles. All subatomic particles engage in a little energy dance. It's almost like playing a game of basketball. They send energy back and forth to each other. And in that exchange, a thing called a virtual particle is created, just for less than the blink of an eye. Now, that little individual exchange isn't much energy. It's about a half a watt's worth. But when you multiply all of the subatomic particles doing this energy exchange across all things in all the universe, you come up with this unfathomable amount of energy, all happening out there in empty space, like some supercharged backdrop.
While conventional biology focuses on the material stimuli, quantum physics reveals that it's the invisible stimuli that are much more important. There's a simple quote by Albert Einstein that makes sense out of this, and the quote is, "The field is the sole governing agency of the particle." What Einstein meant by this very simply is the field, the invisible energy forces around us, they are the sole governing agencies of the particle. Well, the particles matter. And so quantum physics says the character of matter is ultimately determined by the field.
How then is healing communicated to another person? Well, you see, there's this field. We're not in this field, we are this field. We're denser, we're lighter in between, we're denser, we're lighter in between. Or some people say we're lighter when we're physical form and we're denser in between. Whatever the aspect is, we're blips in this field of energy, of light, of information. We access this field all the time. We pull information from this field all the time.
Every one of us has watched a flock of birds in flight and how it changes direction. Instantly, all birds in the flock change direction. So, it seems as if a superior bird brain controls all the birds simultaneously. That only works with the help of those fields, since the fields are able to transfer with no informational loss, and above all, instantaneously, with no time delay.
Walk into any great cathedral in the United States, in Europe, anywhere, that's been standing for hundreds of years or more, and what you will experience is in that cathedral is a hush of awe, reverence, quiet, and it's a palpable experience. Why is that true? It is true because for hundreds of years, the people going into that cathedral have been on their best behavior. They have been in awe and worshipful, and in a state of mind that the quantum emissions from the body brain are emitted into that cathedral, absorbed into that cathedral, and fed back in later centuries to the participants coming into it. And that's why they feel a sense of hush, awe, and reverence.
We're all part of this giant energy field, this zero-point field, that we're all connected, and that we're connected across the furthest reaches of the cosmos.
Many cultures of the past have explored the energetic system of the body. Today, researchers theorize that the body does have a field of energy, known as the morphogenic field or the body field.
There's a hierarchy of fields organizing our bodies. There's the field of the whole body, there's the fields of the organs, and then the fields of the tissues, and then the fields of the cells within those. The field of our own body is within and around the body. There's an overall field, and then there's subsidiary fields, sort of modular fields for arms, legs, and the different organs. The advantage of fields is that they're intrinsically holistic. All fields are holistic. The gravitational field is. You can't slice a bit out of it. If you cut a flatworm into 10 different pieces, each part can grow into a new worm. Now, how is that possible? If it was a machine, that wouldn't happen. If you cut up a machine, all you get is a broken machine. But if you cut up a magnet, a field system, then you, however many little bits of magnet you produce, each has a complete magnetic field. And it was this analogy with magnetic fields that led developmental biologists to suggest the idea of morphogenetic fields in the first place. And this was way back in the 1920s. And this field is now a crucial concept in developmental biology. You can't really understand how organisms develop without it.
All humans begin life as a single cell that grows and divides, developing into the various organs and limbs of our bodies. How these cells know what to become has baffled scientists and led to the idea of control fields in biology.
We've already found that there are different parts of the body field, some of which relate to the muscles and connective tissue. Another part of the body field that relates to the brain and nervous system, yet another one for the morphic field, which connects back to the DNA and the genetic information of your body. So it links up with medicine in many places, so it's not different from medicine, it's just going a little bit further conceptually.
These energetic fields may provide the information necessary for controlling the body.
The actual regulation of the whole organism and of all cells, the coordination of all cells, is accomplished with the help of these information fields, these scalar wave fields. They guarantee that each cell knows what every other cell is doing at any given time, and we have over 70 trillion cells. This is a lot of information, and it can only be processed with the help of these structured fields.
Ultimately, according to Einstein, and other people more recently have said that energy and information must be interchangeable. All right. So information becomes a type of energy because it's an orderliness in space. All right. So they are interchangeable, but on the other hand, in practice, what happens is you get a wave of energy, and then upon that wave, you can get imprinted information. And the amount of information you can imprint appears to be limitless.
Informational medicine, medicine that takes information and changes disturbed information, is going to be the future of medicine.
Apparently, the control system of the body is not genes or chemistry, but information, which seems to be available in the body field. Is it possible to put new information into the body to affect wellness? That is exactly what a number of researchers are doing.
that we've learned how to stop the distortion of information that occurs as a result of various disease processes. Once you stop the distortion, surprisingly enough, the physiology begins to work, the chemistry comes right. There are really wonderful healing stories to be told here. And it's simply because we've learned how to correct the distortion of information in your body field.
Disease is, in a sense, scrambled information. And so if we can access the appropriate information, we correct the scrambling. And that's what a number of these new energy modalities are doing. They're basically correcting that information scrambling.
Listening to WBAI Radio in New York City, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. And we have another site that you can reach. You can click from the main site at WBAI.org, or you can go directly to the donation site, give to WBAI.org. And at the donation site, you can make any number of choices to make your pledge to WBAI. The other way that you can make that pledge is by calling 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. And if you make a pledge of $25, that will give you basic membership to WBAI Radio. And I'm featuring a particular film this morning, and it is a pledge of $100. It's called The Living Matrix. And I shared a little bit about this film just a while ago, but there really is so much more here for you to look at. And The Living Matrix has, it's a full-length film, and it has breakthrough information that will transform your understanding of how to get well and stay well. Its dynamic graphic animation is woven with interviews with leading researchers and health practitioners as they share their discoveries on their cures or the things that really help them to get well. The number here is 212-209-2950, and we're asking you to make a pledge of $100 for a copy of the DVD, The Living Matrix. And it's really very much in connection to the whole understanding of scalar waves and understanding human beings as being energetic beings. And that is indeed what we are. We are completely energetic beings. And so this is a way of really understanding it and seeing how well it works when we honestly take a look at how we're composed, what we're made of, and find ways to heal by understanding that. So I want you to make your phone call, 212-209-2950, and you can make that pledge of support for The Living Matrix. And it has a lot of really wonderful people in it who are sharing that information with you. And a lot of these people you might know. Lynn McTaggart is a science journalist and award-winning author and founder of the Living the Field. Dr. Bruce Lipton is an internationally recognized authority in bridging science and spirit and the author of The Biology of Belief. Edgar Mitchell, PhD, he's a scientist, Apollo 14 astronaut, founder of IONS, and co-founder Association of Space Explorers. Dr. Eric Pearl, internationally known healer, teacher, and author of the best-selling book, The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. And James Oshman, PhD, a biophysicist, cell biologist, researcher, and lecturer, and widely published in scientific journals. And there are many more people who are involved in this film. The number to call is 212-209-2950. And if you can make that pledge of $100, you'll receive a copy of the film, The Living Matrix. It's a film on the new science of healing. And this is a very powerful film because it really does let us know all of the new modalities that help us to heal. And what happens is that we don't rely upon just the chemicals, the drug therapies, the surgery therapies. And what's more important is that there are many situations, many illnesses that are chronic and that really don't do very well with mainstream healing remedies. That very often we may hear one of the segments in which someone says, well, the doctor said, you know, well, we can help you manage your pain, but we really can't help you. We can't really make you feel better or improve the quality of life. And that's very often what happens with chronic illnesses. And there really is a fundamental way that you can begin to heal yourself or be healed by understanding your beingness at a much deeper level, by understanding that we are physical in the sense that we can see and feel and touch our bodies. But when we go deeper into our understanding of science and the truth in terms of the scalar wave technology and understanding and how waves become matter, how our bodies are really made up of energetic substances as much as we have these tissues and the skin and the bones and the flesh. All of these parts of our body are made out of a vibration, are made out of a energetic flow. And as it's described in this film, we begin to realize that the energy of our makeup is very much impacted by the fields in which we live. And our own personal energetic field is inclusive of our emotions, our thoughts, our history. You know, so everything that occurs during our lifetime is in our field. The memory of it is in our field. And if we don't heal and resolve all of these accompanying issues, then very often we're not able to rebalance the physical body. So the energetics of healing is a very powerful way to understand our beingness, and it's a powerful way to understand how to bring our bodies and our lives to the optimal level. And it shows us, really, truly shows us how we can heal ourselves. And so the film we're focusing on is The Living Matrix, film on the new science of healing. Now, when we're doing these fundraising programs, I really do enjoy and want to bring you something that is personal, something that either I created or a service that I can provide. In our last program, when we worked with the scalar waves, program, and which is actually still available, by the way. I also offered you a meditation package, Meditation for the New Millennium, which is a 2-CD set that I created for our listeners, for you. And that's a pledge of $50 when you call 212-209-2950. And I'm offering you something new this time as well. And that's a very personal gift of hands-on energy healing. So you would be engaging in a healing session with myself, and that's a $75 pledge. So this private healing session, and for those of you who are familiar with my work, then you know. But for those of you who are not, you can actually go to the website give2wbai.org, and you'll look up hands-on energy healing session, and you'll see a little bit of my background. I'm certified in Qigong healing techniques as a Qigong teacher from the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine. I've studied with many healers in the U.S. and mainland China as well. And I'm a practitioner of Reiki and the Sanren technique, which is indigenous bodywork. So I have 20 years of experience, and I'm offering you a healing session at the center, my healing center, which is in Brooklyn. And that's a pledge of $75 when you call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Or you can pledge at the $100 for the DVD, The Living Matrix. I'm going to play another track for you, and maybe that will get you going a little bit more in terms of what's possible for healing. And so I'm gonna, I think, go to a segment on emotional healing. And hopefully that'll give you some insight on how involved our healing processes are, both in how we become ill and how we can work to get better. That number is 212-209-2950.
I was absolutely desperate to have children. It was one of the reasons why I'd gotten divorced. I wanted children, my husband didn't. So I moved to London thinking it would take me a maximum of 2 years to find myself a new partner and settle down, and I'd be out in the country having my 2.5 children and I'd be totally happy. That was my plan. I was very good at making plans. So there I was. I had my osteopathic practice. I was seeing clients. And I was stressed, frustrated, depressed. And I had been having headaches for years, maybe 10 years. I'd been having these terrible headaches, which were getting worse and worse and worse. Sometimes they lasted as long as 5 days. I had a routine visit with my doctor, and the doctor found that my hormone level was very much out of balance and immediately suspected that I had a tumor. So I was sent for a brain scan, and they diagnosed a prolactinoma. It was a huge shock. Huge shock, out of the blue, and I felt at first how unfair. I went off to the medical library and started to learn everything I could about this tumor. And when I discovered that it caused infertility, I thought, that is so ironic. Every cell in my body was saying, I want children, and I had somehow created a tumor that stopped me having children. There had to be some reason for this. There had to be, this was too much of a coincidence, I thought. And I got very curious. Because of my alternative medicine background, I decided to treat it alternatively rather than go for the orthodox drugs or surgery.
Ariel decided to utilize neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, to approach her tumor.
So then I got into doing NLP at a much deeper level. Got through the master practitioner level, came home, and was totally inspired as to what I could actually do. I started to really understand what NLP was all about.
NLP is a practical form of psychology, which starts from where you are now and looks at where you want to be and uncovers what's in the way.
If you have, like, my five-day headaches, you know, and you'd like to be without a tumor in your end state, the journey to get from square one to the end square is, you know, what we actually start exploring with NLP.
Ariel made some very interesting discoveries as she began working with NLP.
Now, remember, I was the person who thought every cell in her body wanted children. And what I discovered was that deep down, that going back to early childhood, I had such an abhorrence of what my family had been like that the last thing in the world part of me wanted was to be a mother. And this really, really shocked me. I thought I wanted one thing, and in fact, an unconscious part of me was going in a completely different direction. And when I understood the reasons why it didn't want children and what it was based on, I was able to kind of let go of that and allow it to be the way it was, and at least to understand why I'd created a life that didn't go down that path. One day, I heard myself shouting inside my head. It was like this little voice saying, I'm so sick of this. I just want to be rid of this whole nightmare. I want to be rid of this tumor. And I stopped in shock as I listened to this voice inside my head. And I went, wow, there's a lot of anger in there, a lot of frustration. That's a lot of self-attack. If I'm attacking my tumor with all those thoughts of wanting to get rid of it, that's murderous. That can't be healing. And I had never looked at healing in that way. And I realized then that every thought I'd had was actually about making it go away. Now, that's a conflict. That's a huge inner conflict. And I decided to look at that a little bit more closely. And I thought, well, what would be the opposite? It has to be acceptance. And I thought to myself, well, what would it be like if I really accepted this tumor? And this was quite a few years later, but it was absolutely a turning point in my healing when I realized that my tumor had taken me down a journey I'd never planned. It had taught me things I had never intended to learn. I had changed my career. I had changed my whole outlook. I had learned lots of things about myself and others. I had insights I'd never had before. I'd met amazing people, wonderful people all over the world. I'd had the support of people all over the world. And I realized I liked myself a lot better. And so I thought, okay, I can see that this tumor hasn't been totally bad. What if it has a purpose or a reason for being here? Because obviously it's done a good job so far. So if it's got a purpose for being here and it's still here, maybe there's still a purpose. What would happen if I gave it permission to stay for the rest of my life? It was 6 months after I had that realization and I got to the point of accepting the presence of my tumor. I had my routine blood test and went to see my specialist. And to my surprise, my hormone levels were completely normal. And when my doctor saw them, he just went, wow, that's incredible. And, you know, I thought it had been a mistake. I thought maybe the blood test reading was wrong or something. I said, well, you know, so much time has passed and I'm older now. Maybe my hormones have changed. He said, no. Can't be that. He said, this can only mean one thing. Your tumor has gone. And he said, this is a real credit to you. I don't know how you've done it. I don't know what you've been doing. But I have to tell you, I've seen you for 10 years and you're not the same person you were 10 years ago. You are completely different.
So when we make an emotional shift, let's say we go from frustration to joy, those kind of emotional shifts, about 1,400 biochemical changes instantly go off in the body. Now, if you think about the course of one day, all the emotions that we feel, the highs and the lows, and, you know, the myriad of emotional textures that occur through our perceptions during a day, you can see that emotions are creating lots and lots of changes in our physiology. So it makes a lot of sense to start paying attention to the emotional diet as well as to the physical diet. That's one of the keys to better health and certainly to slowing down the aging process. Strong negative emotions just degenerate us. Positive emotional states regenerate us. Become simple math. Feel more love, more care, more appreciation, and your health's got a better chance of improving and staying that way.
That was another segment of the film, The Living Matrix. And what's really nice about this film is it really does give you not just the anecdotal evidence, but the science behind how energetic healing works, how important it is to be very holistic in the practice of transforming our lives. And so it's a very powerful film for that reason. The number to call is 212-209-2950. We're asking for a pledge of $100 for this full-length film. It's really quite groundbreaking and insightful in what it is offering us to an opportunity to truly understand how much plays into our getting sick. Very often, when we get sick, when our friends and relatives and family members get sick, people just want to be fixed. You know, just give me a pill, take me to the doctor, give me the medicine that I need, give me the surgery that I need, and let me be on my way. But very often, illness is so much more complicated than that. And because it's a web that is intertwined from a deep history of who you are. Some of it can be genetic. Some of it can be your experiences. In that last woman who was speaking, she had a troubled childhood, decided early on that she didn't want to have a family. And then, you know, as you grow up, you try to do the right thing. So then she started embarking on a life that would give her, that was a conflict, an inner conflict. And that inner conflict is what, it was the vibration of that dissonance is what contributed to the manifestation of a tumor for her. And as she was able to resolve that inner conflict and her energy, the waves of her thoughts and her feelings began to harmonize, then the problem that she was experiencing was able to resolve itself. And so healing is it may seem complex, but when we begin to look at ourselves on a level of subtle healing, then we can heal so completely, and it really is remarkable what's possible. And so when we think in terms of healing on this level of vibrational energy, then we're healing ourselves. We can work on our emotional issues. We can work on our psychological issues. We can work on our physical issues, because they're all one another. And very often when we end up with a chronic problem, it's because it has all of these various influences. Now, of course, physical environment also plays a part. But the fact that we become more vulnerable has a lot to do with these other parallel issues. You can have two people in the same environment. One will be fine and another will be sick. What is the difference between them? There may be some difference in genetics, but primarily it's a difference in the emotional stress, and the psychological stress is what leads to disease of the physical tissues most often. 212-209-2950 is your number to call. And I'm focusing on three different premiums today, though it's fine to pledge for the Scalar Waves, DVD.